Amen. Please be seated and turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll be reading verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And this message is for you, Rosemary. You better wake up and hear this message. It's a message for everyone, of course, but especially for our children. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, before we hear God's word read, let us go again to our God asking for his help. Our God, we are your children, and it is our joy, it is our privilege, and our spiritual duty as your children, your sons and daughters in union with Christ. It is ours to follow you, to obey and to honor you, our Father. And we thank you for this word. We thank you for this particular application of the gospel, the good news, and of our own responsibility as children. We thank you for this specific application to the children and the church. And we pray that we all, but especially our own children, would be keenly alert and aware of this message from you to them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Congregation, this is the word of the Lord. Remember that line in the hymn, trust and obey. Trust and obey, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That is the essence of the Christian life toward God, who is our Father in heaven. It's a reminder of the Shorter Catechism question and answer 3. It asks, what do the Scriptures principally teach? What do they mainly teach? And they principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. And so on the one hand, belief, and then the other, behavior. Our own confession and the conduct that should spring from that confession, that behavior that should spring from a heart that truly believes in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Every child of God, old, young, male, or female, in any season of life, is to trust in God for all of life and godliness, and to obey God for all of life and godliness. And what Paul highlights here is the children-specific application of what we have already been seeing. Remember from 2 Lord's Days ago, we had that main verb, and it was directed to wives. And it was, wives, submit to your own husbands in everything. And we remember that the wife, in her submission, shows everyone what the church is to do towards her head, Jesus Christ. And then last Lord's Day, we had the main command, and it was directed to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for the church. And so the husband, in his headship, is to show everyone how Christ leads his bride. And now the main verb here is directed to children. Children, obey. Children, honor. And so children, in their obedience, in their honoring, will show everyone in the church how to be children of God. This is as close as I'll come to a children's sermon. And this is a very children-specific message. It is directed to you, children. And so, yes, you will hear me speak as you do every single Lord's Day, but this message is specifically for you. And so stay awake, stay alert, be attentive, because these words are for you mainly. And I've modified the main point that you see in the bulletin, just slightly to cover both of the verbs there. Children obeying and honoring their parents exemplify the lives of God's children. Children obeying and honoring their parents exemplify the lives of God's children. That is, they are examples of what it means to be the children of God. Look again with me at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We need to get on the same page here as far as what Paul is talking about. He first addresses children. Who are these children? Well, they are children. They're children in Ephesus. Just like you. Just not in Ephesus. They're literally children. We don't know the age range, but they're not adults. Because if they were adults, they would not be given the name children. They're children in the congregation, and they are hearing this letter read to them. And so this situation is really no different from the present situation of all of you children here. As you hear this sermon now, they heard this entire letter being read to them on one Lord's Day. They're not adult children. And they're not even necessarily children who are making a credible profession of faith, though I'm sure that is the case for many of them. They are covenant children. That is, they have been set apart by God for God in the covenant. And so Paul is following our Lord who said to the disciples, let the children come. That is, the children must come. The church here is the right place for children of believers to be. Paul calls you children, in another text, he calls you holy. It's the same word that he uses in the beginning of this letter when he says to the saints who are in Ephesus. That word is the same word as holy. Saints means holy ones. You children are holy to the Lord. You are little saints, even if your conduct does not show it. The church is the home of the saints. It's the home for holy children, children devoted to the Lord. And this, by the way, is one of the reasons why we do not send our children away during worship. What kind of message would that send? Just to drive out the children? That this is not for them. No, this is exactly for them. You children, this is exactly for you to be here, to worship the Lord, to hear the word read, to sing praises to his name. This is exactly where you need to be. Now, these children are children in the home, again, just like you, and they are being commanded to obey their parents. Yes, adult children will still need to honor their parents when they leave the home, which is actually how they will most likely obey after flying the coop. They need to honor their father and their mother. But these children, all of them, are covenantally different from the children who are in a non-Christian home. There are two kinds of children. There are children who are covenantally tied and those who are not. And you, children, are covenantally tied. You are in the covenant of grace. And so you receive, week after week, the godly instruction in your home and the means of grace. That's who these children are. And Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Well, who are these parents? Literally, they are begetters, or they are birthing ones. And by this is not meant that a male can be a birthing one, just like a female can be a birthing one. Are you guys awake this morning? I'm getting like zero feedback from you all. Maybe it's just a serious message and you're just taking it in. But I've just begun. These people, children, are the ones who quite literally made you. Both dad and mom came together in an act of intimacy, which I'll let them share more details when it's time. They came together and you showed up 9 months later. Or sooner. Yes, you were even their child before you left your mommy's tum-tum. Well, perhaps there's adopted children in other congregations as well. They became the children of parents. And it is these people, it is dad and mom to your left, to your right, wherever they are, it is these people that Paul says for you to obey. Now, this does not mean that you don't obey anyone else. Children, it doesn't always work for you to say, well, you're not my mom. Well, you're not my dad. You can't tell me what to do. That doesn't work always. Sometimes it does, but not always. Remember that a wife is submitting only to her own husband, but she's also, in other contexts, submitting. She's submitting to the elders of the church. She's submitting to governing officials in the state. And in a similar way, you, children, obey others. You obey your parents, of course, and you obey elders. You obey your Sunday school teachers. You obey your grandparents. You obey police officers. And if you are a communing child, that is, you have been granted access to the Lord's table, then you have even vowed to submit to the government and discipline of the church. But the focus here is like a wife who submits to her own husband, children are to obey their own parents. That's where God wants you to focus your obedience. Well, now it says, children, obey your parents. What is obedience? See how we're getting really just basic here. What are children? What are parents? What is obedience? It means literally to hear under or to put yourself under or to be put under an authority. This is not one of those depends on what is situations. It's not a difficult word to know. It means to follow instructions. It means to do what you are told to do, or it means to not do what you're told not to do. And there are several examples in Scripture of where this word obedience is used. Consider Mark chapter 4, verse 41, that even the wind and the sea obey the voice of the Son of Man. Remember that when Jesus was walking on water, the disciples, who is this? That even the wind and the sea obey this person, the Son of Man. Or in Mark 1, the unclean spirits obeyed the voice of Jesus and they left. Or in Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us that we are either obeying our passions, our sins, or righteousness. Or in later in that chapter, he says that we former slaves have been obedient from the heart. Or he'll say in Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham obeyed by leaving his homeland. And it's even used, this word obedience is even used of an adult, Sarah, in reference to her husband, Abraham. In 1 Peter 3:6, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And so in these examples, we see following instructions. And in most of them, it's from the heart. The demons had no really choice in the matter. They were exorcised and they had to leave. But even they were subjected to the voice of the Son of Man. And similar to submission, obedience is not to be done when sinful. So if dad tells you to lie to mom with respect, you say, I can't do that. If mom tells you not to worry about working on the Sabbath, you say, no, can't do. God, I can't work on the Sabbath. Obedience is done when the command is easy. Obedience is done when the command is routine. Child, eat your steak. What a beautiful command that is. No child would ever not follow that command. You've just been given this beautiful steak, cooked to perfection. I wasn't the cook, of course. Eat it. If a parent says to his ice cream loving child, eat your ice cream, the child is not likely squirming in his seat and says, but other kids don't have to eat their ice cream. Why do I have to eat my ice cream? You're mean. No. Eat. That's a good command, and it's good to obey that command. And you are obeying when you eat that steak or eat that ice cream. But other commands are rather routine. Son, take out the trash. Daughter, empty the dishwasher. Those really aren't hard things to do. I know they might feel like really difficult things that you can't even get that bag. What is it weigh, like 500 pounds? Just can't get it out of the trash can. That dishwasher, what are the 1,000 plates in there? It might feel rather weighty, but really It's rather easy to do. You just pick up the bag out of the can and move it to the other trash can outside. Just put the plate out of the dishwasher and put it where it belongs. Really not that difficult. But like submission, obedience is tested when the command is hard for you to follow. When mow the lawn interrupts your plan to kick it with the boys. When put away your phone invades your conversation with your bestie. Or when do your homework clashes with, well, everything else. It's hard to obey when you're being told to do something that you don't want to do or you think you have something better to do. After all, don't you know what's best for you? Answer, no, you don't. And Paul says, obey in the Lord. And so this means at least two things. One, which we've already seen, means that no one should obey the person who's telling us to disobey God. We must obey God over man. Chrysostom says, he speaks to children in an infant voice. He is well aware that if husband and wife are well disposed according to the commands he has laid down, there will be little difficulty in eliciting the cooperation of children. In other words, if there are godly parents and they are leading their families in godly ways, there's wisdom in the home, then it'll be easier for the children to hear that and to obey. As a general rule. And he says, but what if the parents command foolish things? He says, generally, parents do not command foolish things. And again, he has Christian parents in mind. Christian parents generally do not command foolish things or sinful things, which means you children give your parents the benefit of the doubt that they know what they're talking about, even when you don't think they do. He goes on, but if they should, the apostle has a remedy when he says that parents are to be obeyed in the Lord. They are to be obeyed in whatever way they are not offending against God. And so we don't obey when we're being told to do something that is clearly against Scripture, against God. He is our ultimate authority. And the second thing it means is that the children must always have Jesus in view. Always be thinking about how your obedience is an act of obedience fundamentally to Jesus Christ. It's the same thing with the wife. It's the same thing with the slave. The wife who submits is really offering her submission not fundamentally to her own husband, but to Jesus Christ. And the slave who obeys is not fundamentally obeying his earthly master, but his heavenly master. Likewise, for the child who obeys his parents, who honors his parents in the Lord, is doing so fundamentally, basically, not for the sake of his parents, but for the Father in heaven. That is, you belong to the Lord. You who are holy to the Lord, then obey in the Lord. Even when it is hard. You do it. You do it for Jesus. Yes, obedience is difficult. Such is life. Shall the wind and the sea obey Jesus better than the children of God? Shall even the demons be more obedient to the voice of Jesus than you, sons and daughters of God? The last 4 years of my teaching, I was at a Christian school that had an annual talent show. And by the word talent, I mean that very loosely. Although the people who volunteered to be in this talent show thought themselves very talented. And it was from, you know, kindergarten to high school. A lot of elementary school kids, they're like, yeah, I got the talent. And so there was, at the end of the year, a talent show that displayed all of the talent. And there was this one kid who, I think he was in Aletheia's class, and he had a song. And he came up to sing this song, and here were the words, "Obey the Lord." And he sang "Obey the Lord" literally for 2 minutes, just that phrase, obey the Lord. His cadence went up and down a little bit. Obey the Lord, obey the Lord, obey the Lord, obey the Lord. And just on and on for 2 minutes. And we wondered, are there other words? Those are great words. Are there others? There were not. What a message. Maybe he really knew the importance of repetition. And he knew that it was good to obey the Lord. And he was commanding all of us to do what Paul commands us here, to obey the Lord. But may it never be said that nature and unclean spirits would out-obey us. Obey your parents, honor your parents in the Lord. Verse 2 says, honor your father and your mother. And so don't just obey, but also honor them. This word honor has the sense of fear or reverence. In fact, this is where we get the word Timothy from. Great name. If you ever need a name to name your kids, Timothy is a wonderful name. It means God fear. One who fears God, one who reveres God, one who honors God. In all your ways, you will either be showing honor or dishonor to your parents. When you obey your parents, you honor them. When you disobey your parents, you shame them. You dishonor them. One man says, this principle is that they reverence those through whom they exist. And so mom is not wrong when she connects her command for you to obey to her womb. She's wrong to say, I brought you into this world and I can take you out of it. It's a bit of an overstatement. But she's right to say, you would not exist without me. I'm telling you to do something. I'm telling you to clean your plate. You wouldn't even have that plate without me. You wouldn't have that fork without me. You wouldn't have that mouth without me. You wouldn't have that food on that plate without me. You wouldn't even be without me. And so obey. Children, how do you talk about your parents to your peers? How do you speak of your parents to others? Or even, how do you speak of your parents to your own siblings, to your brother and sister? How are you an example or not of obeying and honoring your parents to your own siblings? Or to your friends, with your head down, you say, no, I can't go. My mom said no. She doesn't get it. Or you say, sorry guys, I can't hang out. My dad's just being mean. Will you pray for him? How do you speak of your parents in front of others? How do others know of your parents by your texting? What would they think? I knew some parents before meeting them, I knew what they were like just based on interactions with their own children. And I was pleased to hear. And then I saw in real life, oh yeah, he really is a godly man. Really does love his children. Your obedience is service to the church. Obeying dad and mom serves everyone. Now again, there's a range here for children. We don't know exactly how old these children are. And because of your own age, you might not know exactly how to serve the Lord. And as you get older, more options will open up for you. As you consider your own gifting, time and all that, you can see how you can serve the Lord. But right now, the main way that you serve the church, especially if you are younger, the main way is by your obedience to your parents. God wants the church to run decently and in order, and that begins in the home. Obey your parents, and you'll keep true peace in the church. Obey your parents, and you will help your family to be the light of the world that they are called to be. We live in a world that families are falling apart. The world is a world of darkness, and it needs families that glorify Jesus, that are lights. Remember that Jesus, the Son of the Father, obeyed the Father, always obeyed the Father, especially when it was hard. Jesus is not telling you to do something that he himself didn't do himself. He obeyed the Father. He followed the Father. But as a typical child would ask, but why? Why obey? Well, I just gave you a reason. Jesus obeyed his Father in heaven. But Paul here gives us a reason. He gives us actually two reasons. One is, for this is right. Children, you obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Remember, God does not want blind obedience, but heart-filled, faith-filled obedience. Real honor. God wants you to submit to the fact that he knows what is right, that he knows what is good. He knows what is righteous and what is lawful. He does. Why is it right? Because it is a command from God, the Almighty Lawgiver. He speaks his word, and we, his children, submit. We obey. We follow. This is the Christian life. This is what the Bible is all about. The husband is supposed to lead his wife the way that Christ leads a church, because this is right. He doesn't get to lead his own way, but Christ's way. He follows Christ. And he shouldn't want any other way than the way that Christ sets forth. And the wife is supposed to follow her husband as the church follows Jesus, because this is right. She doesn't get to follow her own husband on her own terms, and she should want to be the leader. And the child in the home is supposed to obey, as all Christians are called to obey, because this is right. And obeying this command should be made easier when we know that God knows what he is doing. That God knows we're sinners. God knows that we are suffering, that life on earth is hard. Still, he says, obey. Children, do you know that God knows all things? Is God wise? Is he super smart? Is God bad? Does God ever tell you to do wrong things? Other children can answer too. So if God knows what is right, knows what is good, and he says, children, this is right, obey your parents, honor your parents, that's enough for us. And by obeying, you learn how to trust and obey your Father in heaven. As you obey your parents who apparently don't understand you, or they've not been kids themselves, apparently, know that you are growing in trusting in God, who truly does understand you. And this is what the Christian life, again, is all about. We're saying, Lord, I don't understand how to understand all the answers to my questions. And the Lord says, I know. I know you don't understand, but I know wisdom, and I'm telling you to follow me. This is what we're all called to do, is to trust and obey the Lord. And by obeying, you children are showing others what it means to follow your Father in heaven. Do you remember, children, what Jesus did when he was trying to teach his disciples, not trying, he was teaching his disciples what faith looked like? Do you remember what he pointed to? Do you remember what what seemed to be in the group and what he drew attention to? Do you remember what that was? It was a child. He's saying, look at this little thing. This is an example. This is a little picture of obedience, of faith, of trusting in the Lord and following the Lord. You are then, in a way, teaching us. Your parents raise you and are called to raise you in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's next week. So they're teaching you, and you follow. And then you teach us by following your parents, by obeying and honoring your parents. You're little teachers. Just like the husband is a teacher, just like the wife is a teacher. We're teaching one another what the Christian life is like. And don't you love living the way that God made you to live, the way he designed you to live, the way he created you to live? So we obey because Jesus obeyed. We obey because this is right. But also, verse 3 says, because of rewards. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. People are often motivated by rewards, aren't they? And that's not a bad thing in itself. I recently saw that Fresno Unified School District spent $400,000 this year on me and Ed's pizza. Now let's set aside the fact, and it is a fact, that me and Ed's pizza is the worst pizza you're ever going to eat in your life. Okay? Now, if there is still an opening in your ear that has been offended to hear what I'm saying, let's grant it that much of this money was spent on rewarding students for a good performance. Now, why reward good behavior with trash pizza is beyond me, but I suppose some like it. And I wonder, today is the 16th, I've been your pastor for 10 months. Is that the most controversial thing I've said from this pulpit? John Calvin says, the promises annexed to the commandments are intended to excite our hopes and to impart a greater cheerfulness to our obedience. You listen to that, and you're like, come on, Calvin, that's a bit of an overstatement. We're excited to play. We're excited to be with our friends. We're excited to go on vacation, swim in a pool. But excited to obey? Excited to obey our parents? Excited to honor our parents? Absolutely. For this is right. Husbands should be excited to lead their wives, even though leadership is hard. Wives should be excited about following and submitting to their own husbands, even when it is challenging. And children should be excited to obey their parents, even though it is difficult, because this is right. This is the way God has designed it. And God knows so much better than we do. And Paul says, you children have a promise from God when you obey, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. And so this is a promise from God himself, someone you know. This isn't from a stranger that won't deliver on his promise, nor is it from your beloved parents who sometimes make promises that they do not fulfill. This is from God himself. Your God, the one who created you, who put you in this covenant, who's pouring out his grace and his love upon you every single day of the week. And he is saying, obedience leads to that it may go well with you, that you live long in the land. And here he switches from the plural to the singular, quoting the Old Testament command to address you. It's as if Paul is saying, just sitting down with you saying, do you see God's promise? Do you hear God's promise to you? What rewards? These rewards are both physical and spiritual, to go well and to live long. Calvin says the promise is a long life from which we are led to understand that the present life is not to be overlooked among the gifts of God. And that's a temptation, especially for us in the Reformed camp, is we're going to over-spiritualize this. We're going to say, well, the land in the Old Testament was, Canaan was a type of the heaven, new heavens and new earth. That's a spiritual reality. It is, but there's also like actual land. There's actual bodies that live on the earth that are then blessed by God for their obedience. And Calvin says, we shouldn't overlook this present life. Yes, we don't take stock in the world's treasures. We don't trust in the horses of man. But the earth is a gift. And we are foolish when we don't recognize earthly blessings from the Lord. Earthly blessings that come because God has promised that it would go well with you, that you would live long in the land when you obey the Lord, when you honor your parents. It is true that these are general principles and these are promises, and they're all subjected to the sovereignty of God. What I mean by this is we all know obedient children who didn't live long. What I mean by this is we all know of disobedient, shameful children who lived a very long life on earth. And I was reading this book by B.M. Palmer, a 19th century Presbyterian who details his life of suffering in the home. That he lost, it was 4 or 5 children, and his wife. He had, I think, 8 children, and he lost his first child at age, I think, 2. And then another daughter at 19, that was a son, and then a daughter at 19, and then another daughter at 19 when she got to that age. And then there was one a little bit older, and then he lost his wife. And what was left was, I think, 1 or 2 daughters who would comfort him in his old age, in his loneliness. And in his account of all of these children, he remarked how faithful they were to the Lord, even in their young age. But God did not bless them with even longer years than that. So we know that this is a general principle that is always subjected to the providence of God. But this is God's design, that obedience does result in longevity and in a quality of life. Obedience does lead to rewards. When you children follow your parents, when they give you some instruction and you obey them, say, here's how you wash a car. Follow my instructions. Go from top to bottom, right? You're going to learn how to wash a car. And then the reward is you have a clean car. You know how to do it. And you can teach others. Same thing with shaving a face. Shaving your legs. You want to know how to do that. Shaving your legs if you're a female. Or a swimmer and you're a male, suppose. Learn how to budget. Listen to your parents on how to budget. And that's a reward on how to manage the money that God has given you. Or to fix certain parts of your car. Mow a lawn. Throw a baseball. You want to know how to do that. Or softball. Know how to project your voice. Or bay the horse. Build a cheesecake. Lead in family worship. And 1,000 other things. Those are rewards in themselves. And when I think of my own upbringing, my father and my mother taught me a lot of things. If I could boil it down, the major lesson that my dad taught me was to love by working hard. And the major lesson my mom taught me was to love by praying hard. Work and prayer. Wonderful things to learn how to do, and also blessings in themselves. A lot of rewards come from just following instructions. God has given us so many other rewards just mentioned in the book of Proverbs. And children, I want you to hear straight from your Heavenly Father's mouth these rewards. In Proverbs 3, he says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. In chapter 4, he says, hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. Chapter 6, my son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Chapter 10, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Chapter 1, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. In chapter 3, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. 29, discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart. 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. These are some rewards. Life, safety, guidance, peace, honoring your parents. Your parents being delighted, being glad. Wisdom, understanding, prosperity, protection, and staying on the righteous path. And all these taste much better than me and Ed's pizza. And they last a whole lot longer. Indeed, a lifetime. And this morning, I've been particularly aware that our own family doesn't have a father anymore. That is, my 2 nieces don't have their father. That today is the first Father's Day that they don't have him as father on earth. And so, children, do not take for granted that you have parents. We never know when the Lord is going to take us. We never know. This is right to thank God for our parents, to obey our parents and honor our father and our mother. This is right. And that last reward there, that staying on the righteous path, is vital. That phrase, that it may go well with you, is seen also in part in Jesus' phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. Isn't this what you want to hear from the one who made you? When it's all said and done, don't you want to hear from Jesus Christ, well done, good and faithful servant, however many years you lived? Isn't that your heart's desire? To hear from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. And the way we do this is we obey in the Lord. Yes, you will disobey. Yes, you will fail to follow your parents and your God. Your obedience is not what gets you into heaven. You can't obey your parents enough or honor your parents enough to be pleasing to the Father in heaven. You must rest only on the work of Jesus Christ, what he has done. And so when you fail, you lean upon him again. You confess your sins to him again. And you ask for help. And I don't know all of the dynamics in all the households that are represented here. But children, you need to examine your hearts. Examine your lives. And ask your parents to evaluate, to assess your own behavior, your own conduct. Are you an unruly, are you a disobedient, rebellious child? Never hearing your parents' instruction. It is shameful. Do you hear me? It is dishonoring. It is disobedience fundamentally to God. It is wrong. It is sinful and it needs to be confessed, and you need to put that off and trust in Jesus Christ and turn to him. And oh, what a joy it is to have children who obey, children who honor their father and mother. It is true delight of the soul. Because that is what parents are trying to do, is trying to show them what it's like to live following Jesus, to love Jesus, to worship our God, to be submitting always to the word of God our Father. And for a parent, there's nothing better than having a child who loves Jesus and who shows that love for Jesus by obeying and honoring parents. And there's nothing more grievous, there's nothing more heart-wrenching than to have a child who doesn't want to follow the Lord. It's truly heartbreaking. You have the story of the prodigal son in Scripture as an example of that. You have so many other examples in the Bible of children who grieve their parents' hearts because they've chosen their own desires and not the will of God. So if you find yourself in that category of saying no to your parents, of disobeying your parents, of saying, I hear your words, but I don't need to hear that. I'm going to go my own way. Then be warned. That is the way to destruction. It's the way to death, of not true peace, of not true delight. It is our desire to hear from our God, well done, good, faithful servant. And children, what a privilege it is for you to be in, to show everyone what it is like to live an abundant, rewarding life in Christ. Don't you love showing your parents what you can do, what you can draw, what you can build, all those cool tricks in the pool that you can do? Don't you love just showing, Mom, check this out, Dad, look. Don't you love that? Parents love it too, for the most part. And with your obedience, you are showing everyone here what it is like to love Jesus. What a joy for you to show others how Jesus lived his life before the Father. Let's pray. Our glorious God, our Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that even though it is a hard word to hear at times, to obey, to put ourselves under authority, we know that this is right. We know that your authority, O God, is so much better than our authority, that your word is so much better than our ways. Please continue to shape all of our hearts to submit to the word of our great God who loves us, who gave his own son for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Going to not sing just yet. Come.